The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that was what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who have sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who have sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sonia. Today we're starting a new series in the sermon series, and this is going to be about following Jesus and how to follow. And this morning I want to speak about those first followers of Jesus, what it meant to them and what we can learn from their following of Jesus. So at the very start of that reading that Sonia gave us, we know that Jesus has learned about the arrest of John. And Jesus had been baptized by John, so he recognized John's ministry and the importance of becoming a disciple. And it also marked, the baptism of Jesus marked the start of Jesus' own ministry, because we know that directly after that, Jesus retreats to the wilderness to think about the nature of his mission. And then following from that, he moves to Nazareth and then to a place called Capernaum, which was about 20 miles to the north. And that became the base for Jesus during the first part of his ministry. And he probably went there to get away from opposition in his hometown, from the Pharisees, from people who knew him and thought, what can this carpenter teach us? A bit of snobbery. But he also moved to Capernaum to give his message to more people. It was a busy city for the time, people coming and going, spreading the message. And also, lots of people who were not Jewish would have lived there as well. So non-Jews would have heard Jesus' message. For Matthew, it fulfills the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah, which he talks about in that very first part of the reading, because that part of Israel called Capernaum is in the land that was given to the original, two of the original. The gremlins are here today, aren't they? Okay, yes. Two of the original tribes of Judah called Zebulun and Naphtali, and that was their land. So for Matthew, it fulfills their prophecy. Now John's message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is come near. And that word repent in Greek is metanoia, literally means turn around. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was asking his first followers literally to turn away from what they were doing, to do something new and to be someone new. And so the message of repentance, that message which people had heard John the Baptist say, is confirmed by Jesus. Repent. Turn away from the things that you've been doing. Turn away from your self-centeredness. And so Jesus starts his ministry. And we know as well that Jesus has already encountered some of the men who are going to become his first followers. Andrew, for example, had heard Jesus speak, and his first instinct was to go and tell his brother, Peter, what he'd heard. and they probably became his first followers. But it seems that they went back to their day jobs. They weren't convinced, because in this morning's reading, we're told that Jesus sees them again, and this time they're working as fishermen. And perhaps they had heard about John's arrest and thought, oh, we're going to go for the safer option here. We're going to go back to what we know. So Jesus approaches them. And I like to think that here we can see Jesus as a human being, because what he actually says to those fishermen, tough blokes, come with me and I will make you fishers of people. Sort of first century joke, I suppose. But that is what they did. So what I want us to think about this morning is, what were those fishermen like, and what can we learn 2,000 years later about being fishers of men and women, and about Jesus being Jesus' followers? So those first century fishermen had to adapt to their surroundings. There were three main ways of fishing, apparently, at that time. Firstly, the one that we are quite familiar with, baited hooks, which would catch an individual fish. Obviously not very good if you're in it for commercial reasons. Secondly, they would have a net which was shaped like a bag, which would then be thrown into the water to catch fish, but this would be done from the shore. And then thirdly, a bigger, broader net which would be thrown over the side of a boat from further out, which is where you'd get a shoal of fish from. And we're told that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee when he saw Peter and Andrew casting their nets, and that he didn't have to shout at them. He didn't have to raise his voice. It's a good job he didn't have to use a microphone. So it was probably the bag-shaped net that he was that Simon, Peter and Andrew were using, the one that could be cast from the shore, because they were quite close to Jesus. So depending upon the time of the day, the likelihood of fish being present, the weather on the Sea of Galilee, which was notorious for big storms blowing up really, really quickly, those fishermen had to adapt to their circumstances. And I think, like them, we need to be able to adapt and be flexible, both in our following of Jesus and when we present it to others. We need to look around and consider, is the time right? Are you in the right place? Because if we want to be fishers of 21st century people and followers, then we have to use 21st century methods. A classic example at the moment, of course, is the St. Anne's Twitter account. We are followers of St. Anne's in the Twitter accounts or on Facebook. Different ways of being followers, but we can adapt to them in the 21st century. We have to be flexible in what we do. Who knows what might draw a person to Christ through the Twitter account, through the website, through a social event. Peter himself adapted his mission, because at first he believed he was only going to speak to the Jews, and he criticized Paul for his work amongst the Gentiles. But in a vision, he was told that Christ's message didn't have barriers of race or culture. So we have to ask ourselves, as followers of Jesus, are we prepared to overcome our own prejudices and move on? Well, secondly, the fishermen had to be courageous. They still do, don't they? We heard only this week about a fishing boat and two people had died as a result of that. It's not an easy profession or trade. The Sea of Galilee, as I've just said, was surrounded by hills. It was really prone to sudden storms. They would come up very quickly and they would go very quickly. Anyone prepared to go out on that lake had to be courageous, and that's what we've got to be too. It does take courage to be a follower of Jesus. It takes courage to talk to people about being a follower of Jesus. It's not always comfortable. We are laughed at often. We are dismissed. We can lose friendships and relationships, but we can ask for that courage through prayer. And again, using Peter as an example, remember at his arrest, at Jesus' arrest, Peter denied knowing Jesus because he was afraid. And yet, with the help of Jesus, after the resurrection, he went on to become one of his greatest witnesses. Nicodemus had the courage to ask for Jesus' body. In John's Gospel, Jesus says, "In the world you face persecution, but take courage, I have conquered the world." And we remember Jesus' final words in Matthew, Go and make disciples of all nations. But remember, I am with you always to the end of time. And those words remind us that Christ is always at our side, giving us that courage both to be followers and to ask other people to be followers. The third quality a fisherman needed was patience. They couldn't afford to give up if the fish didn't just appear. They didn't have radar to help them. They might be up all night with little to show for their work, but they would have to stick at it until the job was done. We need patience. Too often, we're tempted to give up if we don't get immediate results. We need to keep at our mission every day, even when it seems hopeless. Pray for patience in our task. Be patient, both as followers and with other followers. So we can learn a lot from those fishermen about being a follower of Jesus, patience, courage, adaptability. Jesus knew what he was doing when he called those fishermen, reliable, hard-working men with the qualities needed to be his followers and to take the gospel on. I think it's also important to take from Peter and Andrew their sense of trust. They stopped doing what they were doing immediately and followed Jesus. Now, I'm not suggesting for a minute that we could all not go into work tomorrow and say, sorry, I'm going to be a disciple. That's just not practical. But when Jesus asks us to do something like be a follower, we should try and do it to the best of our ability in our lives, in our daily lives. So we need to think about the fishermen again. Do we have the right tools for the job? We might be patient, courageous, and adaptable, but have we got the right tools? First of all, we've got a hook and a net in Jesus, in his goodness, in his grace to all people, in his saving grace on the cross. We're told that Jesus went about preaching the good news. He's in Capernaum. He's in one of the biggest cities of the area, preaching for all people. Telling people, for example, nowadays that bad weather, floods, and so on is a result of God's punishment for allowing certain things to go ahead does not reflect God's inclusive love for all people, because the good news that we should give as Jesus' followers is for everyone. It's something that they should want to listen to and cling to. And then we can welcome them into our boat, our faith. And as it happens, the boat is often used as an image for the Christian church. When I do confirmation class, one of the things that I do is a little quiz, and I ask the students about various parts of the church, and I ask them, where is the anchor in church? I wonder if any of you know where the anchor is in church. Some of you may have been confirmed and actually remember me telling you this. If you don't, after church, up there, on my left, on your right, there is a stained glass window, and in that stained glass window, one of the women is holding an anchor. And that anchor is a symbol of our faith. This part of the church that we're actually in is called the nave, which comes from a Latin word, navis, which means a boat. And if you look up, you could almost imagine that that is like an upside down boat. That's the wrong way round, obviously. And many churches were built to look like that because we are travellers in this boat of faith. It's a good place to be. Our church protects us from those storms and things, but we need to make people feel welcome in here and to use this space as a place to follow Jesus, but also to bring followers in. So we need to think about where we're going to fish. If we want to expand the gospel, if we as followers want more people, we might have to go to some uncomfortable places, both literally and symbolically. I think if Jesus was here today, chances are, last night, he would have been out with the street pastors in town, especially after the Grand National. I'm not suggesting that we should all go to the nightclubs on Saturday, but to be aware that our mission can be anywhere. And as followers of Jesus, our faith takes us anywhere. Wherever we're taken to be the gospel, though, it's because God wants it, not because we want it. We're all fishermen. We're all called to look for those who need God in their lives. We're all called to follow Jesus, to be followers. And it takes patience and courage. But with God's help, we can fulfill that. And as it said in Matthew's Gospel, to those who are in darkness, let us bring light. Amen.